Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
As we enter into our lesson this morning, I will simply ask a question to those who are probably my age or older, and to ask if you remember the days before computers, the internet, and cell phones. Certainly those of us who are 50, maybe a little under and over, we can remember those days when in reality we did not have computers, and if we had computers, they were just used for composing letters and printing them out and mailing them through what we call today snail mail. If we had computers, we used them to compose papers for class projects and things of that nature. We did not have the internet to get on and to surf. We did not have cell phones to call people whenever and wherever. We didn't have the ability to text, to send text. I remember whenever Dawn and I were dating, my mom and dad would say to me, "Call us when you get there." And they didn't mean pick up the cell phone and call once you arrived, but rather to use the phone on the wall that was at her mom and dad's house. And I would simply call back and say, "I've gotten to Dawn's house." And in that, by saying all of that, I'm not going to start off on a negative and say that these modern conveniences that we have today, that they are within themselves wrong or sinful. But in that, I can remember a day when we did not have these things, and life seemed to me, to begin with, to be much simpler, and life seemed to me to be much more connected with people that we have relationships with in life than what we find in our modern world. But today, we do have cell phones. Today, we do have not only computers in our homes, but we have the internet. And I remember whenever internet first came out. Anyone else remember the dial-up? Is that you would click on the buttons and it would tie up your phone line so you could not receive phone calls coming in or out. And you would get this weird sound if you were listening, kind of like, in on, in on, in on, in on. And eventually you might get a connection and you might not, depending upon who else was trying to connect to the internet at the same time. Today we have Direct Connect, where it does not tie up your phone service, if you now still have home service there in your home. But then also, Direct Connect means that you're connected instantly. And we have these things called routers, to where that wireless routers, to where that you can connect with any device without having to plug it into the mainframe or the main system. And what a blessing it is. It is indeed a convenience. And whenever I look to the internet, from the way in which I use the internet, I find it to be a blessing. Because as I look to the internet, especially, it helps me to be able to do great research that I am involved in as maybe I'm looking to prepare for lessons. It helps me to be able to look back into the history of the Bible on certain things. It helps me to be able to look into geographical locations and such as to the way in which things used to lay out in comparison to the way in which they currently do in the Middle East and such during the life and teachings of our Lord and Savior. But also it helps me to be able to look up, do research concerning modern things that we're dealing with in our lives. So I do see the blessings of what we have at our fingertips, if you would, as I would use it. But then also, I think that there is that curse side to it. And there are not only the good things that we can get involved in the internet, but there are those things that are ungodly and sinful. And it's interesting that not only does God use the good to influence us and to help us in our life and in our walk and service with Him, but also Satan is alive and well, and he is trying to encourage and to influence people to get involved in the bad things that are out there, like pornography, to get involved in certain groups that would advocate and that would push forward worldly agendas. And as I think with regard to social media, which is our subject this morning, we're going to be talking primarily about Facebook and Twitter, and I'm on both of those things, and I want to encourage you that if you're not connected in those areas, I would like to be able to connect with you so that we can encourage one another as brothers and sisters in Christ and as fellow humans. But also I think about the onset of these things and As I think about social media, there was that one thing that came out several years ago. I remember when we were working in Pennsylvania, and it was called MySpace. And to begin with, there's nothing wrong with having a MySpace where that you're able to keep up with people and to where you're able to express things that are going on in your life. But with MySpace from a social media standpoint, the way in which that started anyway, and I'm not sure where it is today to be completely honest with you, or even if it's still around, is that there were very few rules and regulations to it. And from the best of my memory, is that people could post just about anything and everything, not only that was on their mind, but also they could post pictures, and those pictures could even be ungodly pictures. And people could leave those up, and if you were friends with people in their MySpace, they could come in and look at any of the content that you had on that. And I had family members. We had family members who were getting themselves in all kinds of trouble with MySpace. And I remember doing a lesson when we were working in Pennsylvania about the dangers of MySpace. Again, nothing wrong with being able to connect with people, because I think that primarily from the onset, that's what the designers had in mind, but it went much further than that, and people were getting themselves involved in all kinds of ungodly things. And I remember whenever Facebook first came out, is that I was very skeptical of it, and still, from time to time, I find some things on there that should not be. And it comes out, though, with greater rules and regulations. And I appreciate that, is that they do view the content, and if they find that the content is inappropriate, they will not allow sexually explicit pictures and things of that nature to be on that. And I'm grateful for their looking into those matters and governing it to the point to where they did not allow those things. But today we have Facebook, we have Twitter, which is primarily just a post type thing, and you can love things on there. In other words, if you agree with what someone has tweeted, then there's something called Snapchat, of which I've never gotten involved with, but it's my understanding is that people can take a picture of themselves or take a picture of something, and they can put it out there, and it's only out there for a few seconds, and then it's gone. And then you can no longer view that. But friends, let me suggest this, is that whenever you put something out there in the internet world, it's out there, and while you might not be able to get it back or to see it, someone, I believe, is able to call that up at whatever time if they're able to get out there and to connect into certain things. There's also something called Instagram, and I've not been involved with that very much as well, but I think that it is kind of comparative to Facebook and Twitter, but also incorporate some of the Snapchat into it, being able to see pictures and such. And then there's something called InLink, and InLink I am also a part of, and that's a business social media, and I don't really spend a whole lot of time with that. I'm connected with various preachers and elders throughout the brotherhood, but outside of that, I don't really know a whole lot about it, other than is that you can kind of keep up with locations of where your friends and colleagues are in the world. And for the most part, again, I see these things that are there, that if we look at them properly, if we will use them aright, is that they can indeed be a blessing to our lives and also to the work that we want to engage in as members of the body of Christ. But then in like figure, there are those things that need to be brought out simply to the fact is that there are some ungodly things that we need to guard against. Our goal as Christians ought to be connected, helping to connect people with our Lord and Savior. And as I think about the way that life was back whenever I was growing up, in comparison to the way in which it is today, to me it seems as if we are having greater connections with and through social media and not able to connect our young people to our Lord and Savior. In this, I find is that most everyone is on Facebook. A lot of people are on Twitter. Those are the two major ones. In fact, 1.8 billion Facebook users, active users, are found on Facebook every single month. 328 million on Twitter every month. They're active users. And that tells me that there are a lot of people here in the United States and worldwide, for that sake, who are getting involved in social media. And you can write different things, and nothing wrong with that within itself again. But at the same time, what are we writing? What are we posting on Facebook? And what are we reading as well? And this morning, the message that I want to give to all of us, but also to our kids, those of the younger generation, is that as long as what we're reading and doing with these social media outlets, there's nothing wrong with it. But at the same time, don't forget about Jesus. Don't forget about reading and sitting down and studying from your Bible, because Jesus really and truly is the only one who gives us something worth reading. We're spending our time on. And therefore, we've got to guard against the things that we find in an ungodly manner on social media, and then we've got to also make sure that we regulate our times. Set time limits. I believe that it is most important. Why do I say that? Because Facebook and Twitter, all these things can be very addictive. Hours upon top of hours. People will waste their time, their days, their weeks, their months, sitting on Facebook, reading what people have posted, what their friends are doing, liking those things that people are putting out there. And again, as long as we have restrictions that we place on ourselves, I don't think that there's anything wrong with it, but still at the same time, how much time are you putting into social media versus engaging in your schoolwork, kids, or engaging yourself at work? Because in reality, we can rob ourselves of valuable time with our families. We can rob ourselves of valuable time that kids you need to be spending on your schoolwork. We can rob ourselves and even rob our employers of time if we are spending too much time on social media. Hence, we need to make sure that we give only a few minutes each day to social media, and that we give adequate time to the things that God would have us to engage in this world. The Bible teaches us that we are to redeem our time, redeeming the time that God has set before us. And I want to ask, is that the time that you're giving to social media, is it really productive to your life? But also that and above, is it productive to who God would call, who God calls us to be as Christians in regard to our relationship with Him? But then in like figure this morning, I want to give words of caution, is that we need to be careful about befriending anyone and everyone. Why would I say that? Today I have over 2,000 friends. I'm not sure exactly the number on Facebook, and most of them are members of the church. Some of them are friends that I made while I was going through school back years and years ago, graduated with from high school and such. Others are people that I've met along the way, if you would. People from Australia, most of them are members of the church. Others are people that I met out in the community there, and I have a lot of friends with people here in this community. And I'm grateful for all of those friends that I currently have, but I will say from time to time I'll go through and kind of delete some of those people because they proved to be people that I did not think that they were whenever I first became friends with them. And in this too, though, from time to time I will get friend requests, and I know that I'm not alone in this, I trust, from people that I do not know. And the first thing that I do is I will go to their profile. I'll go to their page and I will click on that button that says about them. And what I will find is that history as to where they're from. I will find as to their religious views, religious perspective. And what I often find is that they don't have any religious views at all. And usually what I find is that it is this half-dressed person who is simply trying to get involved into my life or into your life for whatever reason. And friends, if they are presenting themselves to become our friend, in reality they're not dressing themselves appropriately, and if they're not talking about the things that they ought to be talking about, we have no business by accepting them as a friend. There are a lot of crazy people out there in this world, and it seems like every single day we're finding more and more where that the news media is reporting about what is happening on social media, Facebook and Twitter and such, where the people have become friends with people who are crazy, who have an agenda to just meet up with people and to sexually get involved with them, or to murder them, and things of that nature. So friends, be very careful, because there are a lot of crazy and ungodly people out there. And therefore, do not befriend just anyone and everyone. Make sure that you know the connections in life. Because the Bible also teaches us is that ungodly people will have a negative influence upon our lives. And we must not give way for that to happen. But then also, I want us to understand the necessity of valuing others. As it would come to our responses in Facebook, I'll be completely honest with you. Because of the fact that I have some who are not members of the church, and sometimes even members of the church, I can't always agree with what people are putting out there on social media. And I don't spend a lot of time, I'm going to say, anymore on Facebook. About 2 years ago, I tried to look back and to say, what do I need to do as it comes to social media? And I would check, usually I'm going to say about 10 to 12 times a day on social media just to kind of see what was going on. Usually today what I do is on the morning I'll get up and try to post something, and I'll post something about Christ or about the church in a very positive perspective, or about maybe something in general throughout the course of the day. And then maybe if time will allot, I'll get back on of a night and kind of see what's going on. But in that, I do see from time to time whenever I am on a lot of things that I do not agree with. And, you know, from the cuff, immediately I want to just bounce back and say, are you crazy? A lot of times I want to come back with something that will just kind of mow somebody under. And friends, we can't be like that. Why? Because the Lord was not like that whenever He responded to people. He didn't have Facebook, but rather He had face-to-face with people. And He did not seek to tear people apart for the sake of winning arguments. Rather, what He did is that He looked to the will of our God, and He did what He possibly could to speak in love in order to wake people up, as well as in an effort to bring people unto a greater relationship with our God. And therefore, that's what I want us to do, is as we would disagree with people, we need to respond in a Christ-like manner. As we agree with people, we need to respond in a Christ-like manner. But then also, I want to encourage us in liking things, is that there is that thing where that if somebody has posted something and we post something, we want people to like what it is that we posted. If indeed we posted something that ought to be posted or that is good to be posted, appropriate, if people are liking our stuff, I want to encourage us also to like their stuff and to not be so selective in what we're the people that we're liking their stuff, but also to be inclusive of all people who are our friends, especially those who are members of the body of Christ. But then in like figure, let's have an agenda to teach souls. Post things to stir up people to godly thoughts. I love it whenever I get on Facebook, or even on Twitter for that matter, and I find that somebody has posted a scripture. And you know why I like that? Because it means that that scripture means something to that person who's posted it. Also, it tells me is that people have been getting into the Bible, and getting into the Bible is a good thing if they're posting it out there for other people to read, but also it tells me that they're reading and studying the Bible, or at least reading it, and they're putting these things to their mind, and hence they're putting it out there for others also. But then also, what I try to do from time to time, and you'll have, if you read my stuff on Facebook, you're going to see, whenever I conclude a thought, I put out, I thank you for reading and pondering this matter. So therefore, I want to encourage us to put out pondering points, pondering thoughts about our Lord and about a relationship with our God. Well, what type of things? Things like the church. And I will say, sometimes I see things about the church on Facebook, and I hope and pray that we will not ever engage in this here, where that people are speaking negatively about the body of Christ. And friends, we are a family, and what happens within the family, and there are things that happen here at East End from time to time where that they need to be addressed, and we need to address them as an eldership, and we do, and need to be addressed from the pulpit, and we do, and they need to be addressed privately. Know what I just said there, privately amongst those who are involved, and not to blast people or the Lord's church on Facebook. Why? because those things go universally. Those things go out in our community. And let me tell you, something that I trust that you already know. The church has a bad rep amongst the religious world already. And it's not because, per se, of Facebook and things of that nature, but it's because of the fact that we stand in the truth. And that's okay. We'll take a bad rep for standing in the truth. But you know what really gets under my skin? Is whenever the church has a bad rep in the community, or even in the world for that mind, because of the fact that Christians are speaking negatively in a negative manner about the church. And friends, we must never engage in that in any realm. But whenever it comes to Facebook or Twitter and things of that nature, let me encourage us to speak very positively about the body of Christ. But then also, we've been talking about of recent in our Sunday morning classes about evangelism and about making sure that we are engaged in reaching out for the body of Christ. And this morning, I want to encourage you that if you're on Facebook, Twitter, or one of these other social medias, to use it as a tool to reach the lost and dying world. Use it to build up the body, to encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ, but also use it as a tool, because I trust that not only do I have people who are not members of the church as my friends, I trust that you also have people who are not members of the body of Christ as your friends, and let's reach them. Let's not only connect with them, but let's reach them with a message of salvation in and through Jesus Christ. Let's put things out there that will cause them to go to the Word of God and study the Scripture greater as to what God's plan is, maybe in comparison to where they are in relation to what they believe from a spiritual standpoint. But then also, let's make room for other things in our lives. You say, Kevin, what do you mean? Well, take into consideration worship time. We're always on our phones, are we not? Or there's a tendency to be. Going to restaurants and places like that, you see people on their phone. And sometimes it's not only just one person, it's everybody on their phone who's sitting at the table. I'm like, are they talking to each other? Are they texting each other? And I don't think so, probably not. And even if they're not, or even if they are, let's talk, and I'll get there in a minute. But you know what really also I have found from time to time is that even during worship services, I did a search of this, even during worship services, people admit that they are prone to pulling out their phone whenever the preacher's preaching. Are we that boring? I hope not. Pulling out their phone and checking into Facebook, pulling out their phone and tweeting on Twitter, pulling out your phone and taking Snapchats and things of that nature. And friends, let's be honest, God deserves our 100% focus while we are here. I'm going to say this, we have a fellowship meal right after services today, and our mind shouldn't be on the fellowship meal. Now, if you're like me, you've not had breakfast yet, you're probably starting to get hungry, but let your mind come over the growling in your stomach and say, I'm going to focus on God because we get a chance to worship Him. And let us never pull out our phones or our iPads or our computers and things of that nature during worship services. And I also understand, though, is that you probably, if you use your phone a lot or if you use your iPad a lot, you probably have your version of the Bible on there, and nothing wrong with using it for that. I use mine from time to time, even in classes. I'll pull up my app and we'll search the Greek language to find out exactly what's going on. And so if you're using your phone, your iPad for those things during worship services, I commend you for that and certainly want to encourage. But if you would be a person who would pull it out and use it for ungodliness, understand that God sees what's going on, even though that I might or that the elders might not have an awareness of this. Your neighbors might have an idea of what's going on who's sitting close to you. But then above all, God sees our lack of focus upon Him. But friends, also, what about family time? I mentioned a while ago that whenever people are going out to the restaurants or even sitting down at home, is that more times than not you'll find is that they're on their phones. one of the largest or biggest complaints that we find amongst mothers and fathers, and sadly moms and dads can even be guilty of this, is that they're spending so much time on social media, is that they're not having quality time to spend with one another. And I'm going to say today something that I know is not new, something that I trust is not going to be a surprise to you, is that our nation is falling apart. Our world is just crumbling within in so many ways. And why is that? I think that it's because our homes are not as strong as what they used to be, and they're not as godly focused as what they ought to be. And a big part of that, and understand it pains me in a way to say this because I do see the blessings of social media, but I also think that here's where the curse comes in, is that social media is dictating so much of our time in our homes, is that we're not giving quality time to one another as what God would expect us to do. In Psalms 137 and verse 1, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. God must be the very center of our lives. God needs to be the very center of our marriages and of our rearing our families. And friends, those who would not give time to family, but rather to social media, you're robbing your homes of the opportunity to be able to be connected with each other, but also robbing our homes of those opportunities to be able to connect with God in greater ways. But then in like figure, what about social time? Social time, sometimes people say, well, that's my time. That's whenever I can go out and do whatever I want to do. And to some degree, absolutely, God does not want us to live mundane lives. He doesn't want us to go out and just to lead boring lives and things of that nature. To go out and to socialize, to go out, oh, there's the key, to go out and socialize. What does our phones have us doing? We look into a screen. We look into the internet. And we're constantly doing this number. And today I tell you that face-to-face contact is very critical. The Apostle Paul wrote, and others, is that he longed to be in the presence of others, to see them face-to-face, and as John says. And in this matter, oftentimes what we find is that people, they're just glued to what's going on social media. And they walk around like this, glued to this, and it's been reported, believe it or not, it's been reported that people's run into people because they were both looking at their phones, not watching what was going on. Worse yet, people's walked out into the street and gotten killed because they've been focused on their phone. We need to look up and to look away from our phones and look to each other. To understand as Christians, the good that can come by talking to people face to face. To engage in those conversations, we get to know one another to begin with, do we not? And we also get to, on a very personal level, because there's nothing like sitting across from somebody and talking, or standing with them and talking, and looking at them face to face, to be able to open up to them and to let them know our sincere love for them and their soul, and our desire to bring them to Christ. Friends, also, there's such a thing as church time. And what I mean by that is that as a body of Christ, as the ecclesia, the called out, God wants us to use our time wisely as we serve Him. And this work requires attention. And if we're giving too much time to social media, then it's robbing us, it's robbing God even, of the time that we ought to be engaged in doing His work. And therefore, we need to make sure that we limit our time and that we give time to the work that God sets before us as the church, as an individual Christian, but also to the church, that we work collectively together to accomplish the things that God expects us to do during the time in which we are here. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says that we've been created for God's good pleasure and for His good works. Not created to find out what's going on in the world through social media. Nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, to make sure that we're giving the adequate time, sufficient time, to doing the works that God commands us to do. Social media, it is a blessing and a curse. Facebook, Twitter, and the other things that are out there. Nothing wrong with doing them, but as long as we keep them in check in regard to doing them in a manner that will glorify God in our lives. It may be today that you are here and outside of the body of Christ. We want you to know that God loves you. We also want you to understand, as the Scripture also teaches, is that God has a plan for us to be saved. In that, He gave His Son, Jesus, to die a cruel and very undeserving death, to shed His blood, that through the shedding of His blood, conjoined with our obedience to Christ in baptism, that our sins can be forgiven, and that we become a Christian, a new creation, and we put to death the old man in baptism, and we are raised to walk in newness of life as a new person. And that, my friends, requires obedience for those who are outside of Christ. And therefore, the invitation will be to you here in a moment, but also to those who have walked away from God, who have separated themselves once again. We want you to know that we love you, that God loves you, and this morning we will pray with you and pray for you, that God will forgive you and that you will be restored back into a relationship, a faithful relationship with God once again. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, His call, we invite you together.